The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Or as one translation reads, for the Word of God is a living thing. Welcome, and thank you for joining us here at Church on the North Coast as we listen to another exciting, anointed message from the Word of God. And now, God's messenger for today.
All right, everybody, stand up on your feet. We're going to declare a confession this morning, and nice and loud, I want everybody to declare it together in unison. And if you're not used to doing this, and you say, this is my very first time in a church repeating a declaration or a confession or a prayer, just do it and just watch the results. All right, just say, well, okay, I guess I'll do this. It's my first time here. I don't know what they're doing, but I'm going to check it out. I'm going to try it. So we're going to do it with a lot of boldness. Are you ready? Declare with me, I'm a child of God, born of the Spirit of God, filled with the Spirit of God. I'm led by the Spirit of God. I am becoming spirit conscious. The Word of God shall not depart out of my mouth. I walk not after the flesh. I walk after the Spirit. I refuse to throw away my confidence, which has great reward. I meditate day and night on the Word. Therefore, I shall make my way prosperous, and I will have good success in life. Look at somebody and say, I'm making my way prosperous right now. Look back at them and say, oh yeah, I'm making myself successful right now. Tell three people I'm blessed. Then tell three people they're blessed. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Declare it. Tell them I'm blessed. Then tell three people they're blessed. Amen. There's a story told about a guy by the name of Bill who went on to heaven. The angel was offering greetings. There was a lot of high fives. And one of the angels stepped up and inquired of Bill's most important moment in life while on earth. With a bit of pride, his swelled chest, he said, you know what? I saw an older lady being attacked by this motorcycle gang and this big, ugly, burly guy, and I ran toward the biggest fella. He said, I knocked over his Harley Davidson motorcycle. He said, I punched him in the stomach. I gave him an uppercut, and I knocked him backward right on his can. The angel responded, wow, Bill, that was quite an experience. When did all this happen? And Bill said, about 2 minutes ago. You know, there's a fine line between confidence and stupidity. But there's also a fine line between presumption and faith. You know, we are called to walk by faith. And sometimes we act on presumption without a word from the Lord. We've been dealing in the seven steps of faith. And today I want to deal with step number six. I won't be able to get to seven today. It's just too much material. But I want to review with you step number one. We said that if we're going to walk by faith, the first thing we've got to do is get a word from the Lord, right? Everybody, we got to get a word from the Lord. And we got to acquaint ourselves with that word. That's what Job 22 and 21 says. Get it down in our spirit so that it becomes one with us. We become one with that word. I was talking to my son earlier between the services, and he's remodeling his kitchen. He said, you know, Dad, there's so many steps that you got to take. And he said, you can't really avoid any of those steps. If you do, you'll have to do the job all over again. And you know, that's just like faith. When you walk by faith, there are steps in faith that if you miss one, it's going to cause you to have to go all the way back over and start again. So step number one was get a word, become acquainted with it, become one with that word. Number two, we said in Luke 1:45 that we ought to create an expectancy. We ought to set the mood. We begin to get our expectation on the level of wanting to see and declaring that we're going to see. You know, Luke 1:45 said that God is going to perform His Word. It's going to be a performance. And the Lord, anytime He performs anything, He does it with style. He does it with class. And sometimes there's a delay between what manifests and what God declares. But we ought not to get weary in well-doing, knowing that, you know, we're going to have a great reward if we don't throw away our confidence. Because God's putting it all together. He's casting everything. He's putting it all together. I, I thought it was kind of interesting. You know, we shared with you a little bit about the testimony of the 65 acres land deal. And I was even telling Tina this morning, it's amazing to me that major department stores like Kohl's and Target and Home Depot would actually build something on that site. When you think about it, when's the last time you saw those kinds of stores off of a major highway? I mean, this thing is like a mile removed or however far it is, and yet God orchestrated that. We talked about how, you know, the Attorney General at the time when we first started this 5 years ago and we began to make our declaration, create an expectation, and say, God, why isn't it coming to pass? Well, you know, that person had to get out of office and another person had to get in office and this person had to be moved over here. God is casting the call in your life. So you create expectancy. And I thought it was kind of interesting that Betty Montgomery, who was the Attorney General at the time when we started, then left office and another one went in when we got the approval, has now been elected by her party to go back in as Attorney General's office. You know, I thought, well, she was, then she wasn't. We got our deal done. Now she is again. I don't know how all that happened. But say with me, number two, create expectancy. Now, number three is be covenant-minded, Isaiah chapter 41, verse 21. We've got to become covenant-minded. We need to realize that we walk in covenant with God through Christ and that you're not just a nobody. You're not inferior. That you and I have covenantal right to the word of the Lord, and we need to begin to declare that. Then we said number four, exercise your authority. That's Micah chapter 6 and verse 1. These are steps that we need not necessarily take in sequence, but we do definitely need to initiate them. So we want to exercise our authority. I believe that there is health in every one of our bodies, but I believe that we have to exercise that to manifest it. In other words, when we take care of ourselves, we do our exercises on a daily basis, our cardio and our strength exercises and all those things, suddenly now health is optimized. You have health built in you, but if you slouch it, if you're a sloth, if you don't work it, if you don't exercise it, it's never going to manifest, right? So it is in the spiritual. We have authority. You and I were born again in the kingdom of God. We've been given all authority, according to Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. But until you exercise that authority never manifests, just like health never manifests unless you exercise it. So we talked about how we have to exercise our authority. Number five was that we need to demonstrate the victory. James chapter 2 and verse 18. Demonstrate. Get those demons straight on who's in charge, right? Demonstrate the victory. In other words, by show me my faith, I'll show you my works. Show me works, I'll show you my faith. That God said to speak to those mountains and declare, be thou removed and cast into the sea. To recognize that when you're operating in faith, that God has already got a place prepared for that mountain obstacle that is facing you today. That it is going to be cast into the sea, swallowed up by the ocean, never to be seen again. But you and I have to speak to it. We need to declare to it. That's what Micah chapter 6 and verse 1 declared to us. Now we're talking about step number 6. I have a lot of admiration for the 60s, for the civil rights movement. It really impressed me. I was a sympathizer and still am with the civil rights movement. Today with the immigration situation with the Hispanics and talking about how they're illegal aliens, and I wondered who is legal in this nation. But nonetheless, that's just my position. I'm always appreciating of the one that's going through the suffrage, whether it's women's rights or whether it's civil rights or whatever it is. But I do believe that God has given these alienable rights to you and me, and that we need to celebrate that. But I remember back in the 60s when the African American was really trying to come forward publicly and declare of who they were and not have to be ashamed of that. And I remember a lot of my friends, which happened to be African Americans, they would get in these rallies, and maybe some of you remember, if you're old enough, you remember this saying. They say, I'm black, say it loud, I'm black, and I'm... And some of us as white folk didn't quite understand that. We're like, oh, yeah, okay. But, then they wore these armbands, and they put these black T-shirts on, and they put their fist up like this, and it says, I'm black and I'm proud. And it's like, whoa, yeah. And you say, well, okay, I'm white and I'm proud, and I'm proud, you know. And we didn't quite get it, but there was something powerful about saying that. You know, and so I pick up on that today, and I want to say it this way, instead of saying I'm black and I'm proud. You say, well, because you're not. Well, I know that. I understand that. But You know, they say some are black by birth, some are black by choice. So maybe I'm more black than you are. I don't know. Just depends. But nonetheless, I want to say it this way. Say it loud. I'm proud. I'm saved and I'm proud. Okay, say it. Say it loud. I'm proud. I'm saved and I'm proud. Okay, say it loud. I'm saved and I'm proud. All right, now get real bold when you put your fist up in the air. Say it loud. I'm saved and I'm proud. Woo, listen to you all. How many here in here this morning are really saved? Let me see your hand. Now, isn't that a powerful truth? You don't even realize what you're saying. You're saying, I'm already in heaven. Y'all look like you're here with me. Saved is past tense. Already done. You're walking around talking about how you're saved. You're still walking in earth suits. Right? But you already have the mentality that I'm there. We need to realize something about what God has done for us. And I want to talk about the sixth step is basically going public with your faith. Going public with your faith. Say aloud, I'm saved and I'm proud. Now, I like the scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. God hath not given us, what? A spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Now, that scripture is a powerful scripture, but let's break it down and understand it a little bit. Because if God didn't give it to you, where did you get it? So that means somebody along the way gave it to you. Now, oftentimes when I'm walking through a city, metropolitan area, people are passing out leaflets. They want you to go to this restaurant or that restaurant. They're passing out their free press newsletter or whatever agenda that they're trying to propagate. Oftentimes what I'm just very rude. I just walk by because I don't want their junk. I don't want to have to throw it away. I don't want the paper. But Tina, she is so sensitive and she has this great mercy gift. She'll take two of them. She'll walk by and she'll say, well, give me one and give me one for him. I'll give it to him later. And I just walk right by. I don't want their stuff. You know, you don't have to take what somebody's trying to hand you. Look at your neighbor and say, you don't have to take it if you don't want it or if you don't need it. You see, now listen, we've got to get this mentality in our mind that because this world is always going to try to be given us stuff that God doesn't want us to have. So if God did not give us a spirit of fear, where did we get it? Now the word fear, define that, it's like, oh, I'm afraid. But that's really not the Greek. It's better rendered timidity. Everybody say timidity. Timidity. All right, so if you're timid, God's not given us a spirit of timidity, but a power, love, and sound mind. Now, if you understand the word spirit, because as soon as we hear that, we think of Casper, right? Or we think of some kind of a spiritual, mystical thing. But the word spirit can often be interpreted in the New Testament as personality. So let's break that scripture down. God has not given me a personality of timidity. God's not given me a personality of timidity. Let's define timidity. Timidity means one that lacks self-confidence. So we're breaking it down even further. God has not given me a personality that lacks self-confidence. But also timidity means shyness. So now we throw that into the mix. God has not given me a personality that is shy or lacks self-confidence, but power, love, and sound mind. You say, well, all right, that's easy to say and it's in the Bible, but I lack confidence and I'm shy. That's just the way I am. Well, that's not the way you have to be. You see, you could take that leaflet and give it back. However that came, whether it's through abandonment of family members or rejection or some other situation that caused your personality, molded your personality, shaped your personality to be shy and to lack self-confidence about who you are, can be reversed how? Through the renewing of our mind to realize who we are in Christ. See, that is a basic concept of our Christian faith that we've got to exercise. You and I have got to begin to rehearse that we are more than conquerors in Christ. That I am a head and I am not a tail. That all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. And I thank God that I am a co-creator with God. That I have inheritance. I'm a co-inheritor with Christ. And that all things that are Christ are now mine. And I'm the apple of God's eye. And greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And what am I doing? I'm recognizing that I can be very confident in who God has made me to be. So if God did not give me a personality that lacks confidence or shy, that makes me shy, then who did? Well, we know the enemy wants us to lack confidence in the things of God. Why? Hebrews 10 tells us that if we throw away our confidence, it has with it what? Great reward. So great reward will not come to us if we don't have the confidence to operate in God's word. So the devil is obviously going to try to impose upon us a lack of self-confidence. Because without confidence, the reward can't come to you. And God sent his only begotten Son in this world that he might reward us for our faith, that he might bless us, that he might give us gifts and graces, and it comes through confidence to receive it. So if the devil can still weigh your confidence, you can continue to be a defeated Christian all your Christian life. So we realize now that we don't have to take that flyer. Hebrews 13:6 says this, "The Lord is my helper, what can man do to me?" See, most of us are not intimidated by circumstances as much as we are by people. People, man. Man tries to impose themselves upon us, and man will try to induce us with a spirit of timidity or a personality of timidity. So what I realize now is, okay, the Lord is my helper. What can man do to me? Now I want you to go to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Paul the apostle was a man who was very humble. If you read his writings, you'll find that Paul was talking about how he was the least of those to be saved, the least of the apostles. I born a man out of time, and I was a major sinner, and you know, Pharisee of Pharisees, but I was crude and I was rude, and I was out there trying to kill all Christians, and I don't deserve all this. You say, well, it sounds like he lacks self-confidence. No, watch this. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, he heard something in the Spirit that released him into great authority. Verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed." Everybody say ashamed. Ashamed. "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now watch the Amplified Bible, because this ties in together. Now remember again, 2 Timothy chapter 1:7, "God has not given me a personality of shyness or a lack of self-confidence." God's not given me that. So I remember that, and I couple it with this word in Romans chapter 1 and 16 that tells us, "I am not ashamed of the gospel." Listen to what it says in the Amplified. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is God's power working unto salvation, for deliverance from eternal death to everyone who believes with a personal trust, a confident surrender, and a firm reliance." Now I understand something, that salvation, soteria, is working toward me only when I truly believe. Believe now is not mental assent. Believe is trusting in with a total reliance and a confidence in. So if the devil can come and steal away your confidence, it gets you to operate in a lack of confidence and begin to operate in shyness, then the salvation blessing, wholeness, peace, prosperity, health, all that God has promised to us in salvation, then will never manifest in our life. We're talking about how to walk by faith. Step number 6 is we've got to go public with our faith. We've got to begin to stand up and say, "I'm going to say it loud, I'm saved, and I'm proud." In other words, devil, I want you to know I don't lack confidence in what God said. So he tells us that I'm not ashamed. Now that word ashamed is interesting in the Greek. It actually means to be abased by the consciousness of fault. To be abased by the consciousness of fault. To be abased is interpreted to be made lower than. To be abased is to make you feel inferior. Paul was saying, "I am not inferior. I am not a person who is abased, made to feel lower because of a consciousness of fault." Now, what is he talking about? He's saying, "I don't have a consciousness of fault toward God or toward this word. I don't have any doubt that this word is true, that it's going to do exactly what God said it's going to do." Now, when Paul said that, He was coupling with what Timothy declared, as Paul was, I mean, as Paul declared to Timothy, as he said to him, God has not given you a personality where you need to be ashamed of being a Christian. Or you need to be ashamed, made to feel inferior to your circumstances. See, one of the steps of faith is to exercise our authority. Speak to the mountains. You know, there's always going to be circumstances that are going to challenge what you believe. If you didn't have, I mean, it wouldn't be faith if you didn't have a challenge. If you didn't have resistance, it wouldn't be faith. You say, well, why do I always have to go through trouble? Listen, you don't have to go through trouble. All you have to do is stand in faith and let trouble come and trouble will go. You know, it's light and momentary. This affliction that's come against you is only going to last for a season. God is right now arranging a performance for me, and he's casting the call, and it's going to come to pass, and I'll just keep standing here building up my confidence because I'm saved. See, I'm proud. I'm going to say it loud. I'm saved, meaning past tense. This is already done. So if I'm being attacked by depression, I'm being attacked by lack of joy, I know my salvation, soteria, has brought me wholeness and peace. So I'm saved, and it's only going to be a moment before this passes away and what God said will come to pass. Amen? So I'm in my step now where I have to go public and I have to recognize that I can't be feel inferior because of a consciousness of fault. If you and I have not gotten persuaded yet that God is not a man that he should... See, God can't lie. So if he said he'll meet all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, what is that going to matter? What's going to happen? He's going to meet my needs, right? Okay, but what happens if the light bill comes and it's being turned off? What happens if, you know, your boss lays you off and tells you you're fired? Or what happens if, you know, the bank says you're overdrawn by $500? And what does that do? How does that change what God said? It only changes it if we lack confidence or we become shy about God's word, or we have a consciousness of fault. We attach a fault to God. God, you said, but it didn't come to pass. Defeated. At that moment, we are set back. So we have to take our stand in faith. After you've done all that you can stand, stand therefore, and you begin to say, you know what? I know that these are steps of faith. I'm operating in them right now. I know the devil is doing all that he can to resist what God said. I'm not going to be intimidated. I'm not going to become lacking in confidence because I recognize I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. So when I walk in inferiority, the power of God can't operate. Because I'm not ashamed, it is the power of God. I refuse to be inferior, now the power of God will operate. Why? Because I have confidence and trust and reliance upon what God said. But as long as we lack confidence in it, the power of God can't be released. The word power in Romans 1:16 is dunamis. It means the miraculous ability of God. So therefore, when I maintain my confidence level, the miraculous ability of God is released to work on my behalf. That's why it's exciting to live as a believer. That's why it's exciting to stand on God's word. Because it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what other people say. It doesn't matter what the circumstance has evolved. And because I got my confidence in what God said. And I'm not going to allow them to make me feel inferior. I'm saved. See, that's why I thought that was so powerful. With that, say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. You know, when you do that, you cross the line. There's people that don't like you when you say that. The people that react to you when you say that. And many of you went through those civil rights movements. Many of you have to deal with that now as African Americans because prejudice is still alive and well. And you still have to deal with it. But you either going to cower to it, you're either going to be intimidated by it, or you're going to pull out your chest and say, hey. Right? Say what? You're going to say, God has not given me a spirit, a personality of timidity. And when that's birthed in you, you're able to withstand adversity. You're able to withstand harshness. You're able to withstand mistreatment. You're able to withstand injustice. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you have no idea because you've never had to deal with that with your race and with your ethnicity. But if you've had to deal with that, if you're a little immigrant from Mexico and people are looking at you and say, are you legal or are you illegal? Stand up tall, boy. God created you in His image. Declare who you are in Christ. Doesn't matter if you're short in stature and you're Mexican and you got here, however you got here, glory be to God, you're here. What can man do to me? Hebrews 13 said. So you got to take your stand. You see, I remember something that was really powerful because I was a little boy. I can't remember the age at this time, but I was a young boy. My dad loved boxing, and he was listening on the radio to Sonny Liston. Sonny Liston at the time was a heavyweight champion of the world. He was boxing this new young upstart by the name of Cassius Clay. Ever hear of him? Muhammad Ali is his name changed to later. But Cassius Clay was in the ring with the great Sonny Liston. And they were duking it out, and we were listening to it. And Sonny Liston was getting whooped by Cassius Clay. And after the bout, Cassius Clay came up to the microphone, and as he did so many times on the television, took his gloved finger and began to point it out in the world and said, I am the greatest. If I were to ask you today, out of all the heavyweight champions of the world, those that follow boxing, those that don't, who is the greatest boxer that would come into your mind? Most of you would say Muhammad Ali. Why? Not because we say he's the greatest, because he said it. You say, yeah, but he was able to back it up. He whooped on a lot of boys. Yeah, but he got whooped too. But notice what he did. He created a reputation because he went public with it. Float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. You know, that old Muhammad Ali shuffle. Rope-a-dope. I'm the greatest. You can't hurt me. I'm pretty. Come on, you remember all that? What was he doing? He was intimidating the devil. In the spiritual realm, you and I have got to get our confidence out there in our mouth. We need to go public. Who are you? Say, well, glory be to God, I'm saved. So what does that mean? Well, I'll just tell you what it means. It means I'm whole. It means I'm prosperous. It means I'm healed. It means I'm up and not down. It means I'm over and not under. It means a whole lot. What else you want to know? I'm saved. See, all of a sudden I've gone public with this thing. Now when an opponent got into the ring with him, they weren't just fighting another boxer. They were fighting his public declarations. And then he had a sidekick by the name of Howard Cosell. And old Howard said he was the greatest too. You get yourself believing you're the greatest and somebody else will agree with you. Can I tell you right now, God already thinks you're the greatest? Can I already tell you now that God thinks you're bad to the bone? If he can just get you to say it a couple of times, you'll believe it yourself, and he'll get on the airwaves and he'll declare it too. She's the baddest. He's the baddest. She's the greatest. He's the greatest. We got to get it in our mouth. We got to begin to declare. We need to make a public declaration. What are you going to do? I remember a pastor used to tell me his church was 5,000 members. Now, I know personally he only had about 500 people in his church, maybe 700 on a good Sunday. But to him, he was pastoring a 5,000-member church. He would talk about having to order 5,000 chairs, build a sanctuary to seat 5,000. And I thought, man, this guy is lying. I mean, that's not a Christian thing to do. That's not a pastoral thing to do. Why don't you, how big is your church? He said, well, we run about 5,000. I said, you don't have 5,000. He goes, oh, yeah, I have 5,000. He went public. He was making his declaration. He was saying, my church is 5,000. Today, his church is nearly 30,000. You see, today, we're going to have to make a decision whether or not we're going to make a commitment. Because once you go public, once you start declaring, I'm the greatest, I'm pretty, you can't touch this, rope-a-dope, Muhammad shuffle, once you do that, people don't like you. People are glad you got arrested and put in jail for evading military service. We're glad. Throw that guy away. Lock the key. He always talks about how good he is. You don't think your parents will do that to you. Your family will do that. When you start talking about, we're blessed. I'm blessed. I just want you to know my children are going to be blessed. I say, oh, yeah, you don't have trouble with them children just like we had. Don't you talk like that. You know, they would rather you say, I'm a loser, Dad. I'm a loser. I'm defeated. I'm defeated. That makes them feel better because they're losers and they're defeaters, defeated. But the moment that you start talking to losers and defeated people, how much of a winner and how much victory you have in your life and how powerful God's made you to be and what you're expecting in faith, people don't like that. There's going to be people. But see, you got to cross the line. You got to go public with your faith. You got to throw your fist up in the air. Say it loud. I'm saved and I'm proud. I am saved and I am proud. And I'm going to tell you what God is about to do for me. It seems like there's not hardly a week that doesn't go by lately. I'm getting phone calls of people that are telling me one thing that told me something else before. I'm walking into a certain relationship and a deal with this particular company, and they say, this is what we're going to do, and this is what we're going to do, and this is what we're going to do. I say, well, that's great. That's great. Let's shake hands on it. I'm old school. If you say it, I believe it. Then I sign the paperwork because I don't have to read it because you just told me what it said. Then later on they go, you know, you signed on page 4 there, and it says you don't get that. I said, yeah, but they said. I said, well, I can't help what they said. They were misinformed. What you signed. See, we don't have to do that with God. What God said is as much and as good as what He signed. Amen? You and I today can have that confidence and faith in what God said. But we're going to have to take that step, committed step, draw the line and say, you know what? I just want you all to know I'm saved and I'm apologizing for it. I'm not playing, you know, secret agent Christian here. I'm not going to back down because you don't believe in faith, so I'm not going to talk about faith. All right. Or just because you feel like I'm a little eccentric or I've gone a little bit too far. You know, I'm sorry. You know, I mean, this is how I live. So either you put your fist up in the air and shout it out. You know, I'm saved. I'm proud. I'm saved. I'm going to say it loud. Either you do that or don't do it at all. See, so God's looking for a generation that's ready to come out and be willing to take the criticism, be willing to take the scrutiny. Let me tell you, there are going to be people who are going to point fingers at you when you begin to walk by faith. But I have decided to follow Jesus. Amen? I have decided to follow Jesus. And you know, some of the things, I tell you, I like what some of these preachers have accomplished. I mean, I think it's awesome. They've worked their faith. And some people criticize them and say, well, they ought not to have these jet airplanes. And, oh, look, they got these big houses. They got all that money. They're a bunch of crooks. And they might, look, I don't know where their heart is. Okay? But they have made, I tell you what I honor. They have made a determination. This is who I am. This is how I live. This is what I believe. See, drawing the line. So every one of us, say with me, I've got to speak up, I've got to speak out, and I've got to speak loud. You say, well, why do I have to say all this stuff? What's so important about saying it? Did you know you can't even get saved until you say it? Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth. And he says, salvation is a result of what you've said. See, salvation, the soteria, the effects of what God has done can't happen until we declare it. That's why we can't, if we lack confidence, we'll never say it. We say, well, you know, God's got a way out. See, if you're in a situation where you're in trouble, whether, you know, I like Troy's analogy yesterday, you'll learn, you just listen to your wife, it just works. That's what I do. But just call the cops. But if you're in a situation like that, it's easy to get all frustrated. Well, what'd you lock the door for? I told you not to lock the door. You know my keys were in there. Why didn't you bring your purse? You got another key in there? And you're all fussing and fighting. And what happened? You've lacked confidence. But immediately when something like that happens, you say, hey, in Jesus' name, I don't know what God's going to have to do. He may have to bring an angel up here with another key that says, I got a car just like yours. Let's try it. It's going to work. I don't know, but I'm ready to receive it. So Father, in Jesus' name, manifest it now. That's a whole lot better than, well, you give the car and the person there and the kids. I told the kids not to lock the door. Doggone it. Why did they just stay in the car like they were supposed to? Right? I mean, some of us go that route. Is there anybody here that goes that route? All right, you did in the past. A long time ago. You don't do it anymore. Okay. But it's a whole lot better to speak up, to speak out, and to speak loud. Speak what? Not your frustration over the situation, but your mastery. Everybody say mastery. God's called us to be masters on the earth. Masters. When a master says a word, the servants have to do it. Now let me give you three things real quick. I got to hurry. Three things. That's why I'm only going to be able to do one of these today. Three things that happen when you speak up, speak out, and speak loud. Number one. The first thing that happens is Satan has to submit to what you say. Satan has to submit to what you say. First of all, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 13. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. I'm going to read out of the Amplified Bible. Yet we have the same spirit of faith as he who had wrote, I have believed and therefore I have spoken. We too believe and therefore we speak. I believe, therefore I speak. What's belief? Not mental assent. Belief is confidence, trust, and reliance on what God said. God's not given me a spirit of personality of lack of confidence or shyness. No, God's given me power, love, and a sound mind. So therefore, I have confidence in what just God just said. I'm not ashamed. I don't consider this inferior or myself inferior. And I don't have a consciousness of fault towards the Word of God. See, I have believed, therefore I speak. See, a problem why we're not speaking is because I'm not sure we're convinced that we believe. On the level of confidence, trust, and reliance upon without a spirit of timidity or personality of timidity. That's why as Christians, we've got to break out. See, some of us have been living in a box about the big size of this pulpit. We get up inside of there and we're contained by the devil. And it's time for us to bust out. See, words are nothing more than containers. Look at your neighbor and say, what you say is like a container. Okay, now if it's a container, if a word's a container, what does it contain? If the Holy Ghost is in you, if the Spirit of God is in you, if God's given you the power of the Holy Ghost, the dunamis of God, the power of God that's in us has one way out of us. It's through the containers called words. That's how it comes out. See, the Word of God, the power of God that's in us doesn't come out, isn't manifested into a situation unless it's packaged. It's put in a container, and a container is a word. So if I say, be free, that word be free contains the anointing for freedom. Because freedom is in me. I'm exercising my authority. See, every one of these steps, I'm straightening out those demons. Demonstrating my victory, right? So now I see that I believe, therefore I speak. Acts chapter 14 and 3 says, though I don't just speak any old way. I'll take a chicken dinner, please, and give me a water with that and lemon, please. Thank you very much. That's one level of speaking. But Acts chapter 14, 3 admonishes us to speak boldly. Speak boldly. So in order to speak boldly, I got to speak with confidence. I got to speak with confidence. When I speak with confidence, it's because I've tapped into the source within me. Now, many of you have watched the Cavaliers beat the Washington Wizards. How many saw that game? You see that game? There was a few of you. There's a certain guy by the name of LeBron James who's just bad to the bone, isn't he? I mean, the guy's quite a player already at age 21. And before 20,000 people and multi-millions around the world in this country, he walked up to one of the greatest players on the Washington Wizards. He's about ready to make a foul shot, two shots, and he walked up to him, tapped him on the shoulder, said, you missed these, you're going home. He said, well, that was borderline arrogance. Well, it might be borderline confidence. In other words, he spoke up. He spoke out, and he spoke loud. Well, who does he think he is? Come up to one of my players and tell me that if you miss these, you're going home. He's LeBron James. Who do you think you are that you're going to begin to speak and tell me that this... You see what I'm saying? We have to come to a point of confidence. We just walk by, tap you on the shoulder and say, miss these, you're going home. See, the idea is to put the pressure on the opponent. See, you and I have got to put the pressure on the devil. Instead of him putting the pressure on us, we need to put the pressure on him. So here's a guy that shot, I believe it was 89% for the season at the free throw line. He just shot a basket 35 feet away. It's like from here to that wall over there. Poing, and put it in, right? And tied up the game or whatever the night before. But here's a guy on the line after hearing, you miss these, you're going home. And he missed both of them. He missed both of them. And then what happened? What happened? He went home. Just like I said you would. Come on, point to the devil. Say, devil, you're about to go home. Yeah, you're about to go home. So there's one thing about speaking and ordering a chicken dinner, but there's another thing about speaking boldly. Right? So we got to learn how to speak boldly with the confidence that comes up out of our belly. See, I talked to some of the worship leaders on Thursday night. We had a powerful time of worship. And I walked up behind them. I said, sing out of your spirit. Sing into their spirit. See, this isn't just singing. There's some time I sing, oh, how I love Jesus. But there's other times I think, oh, how I love Jesus. Like Tommy was up here, our Father. Where you at, Tommy? Is he still here? Yeah! Which art in heaven? Huh? He just wasn't singing. He was boldly declaring his singing. There's a difference. So the first thing does that Satan does what? Satan will submit when you begin to speak up, speak out, and speak loud. Loud. Look at Luke chapter 21, verse 15. Luke 21, verse 15. While you're turning there, y'all pray for us. We go to England this week. We're going to preach 5 times in like 5 days. So we'll be busy and looking forward to it. Luke chapter 21, verse 15. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. Watch this in the Amplified. For I myself will give you a mouth. Say, I've got a mouth. You know that's right. And such utterances, I heard a husband say that back there. And such utterances, I'll just repeat what I heard. And such utterances and wisdom that all of your foes combined will be able to, be unable to stand against or refute. Here's what God said. I've given you words to say that every fallen angel combined together and Satan himself, throw your mama in there, throw your papa in there. Throw Annie M in there. Throw them all in there. Doesn't matter how many foes are against you. They will not be able to stand against what I put in your mouth. What I put in your mouth. They won't be able to stand against it. Whoo! You mean the devil has to submit to what I say? That's what it says, right? Hallelujah. So all of a sudden, now I'm initiating this. I know that I can cause Satan to submit. Number two, when you speak up, speak out, and speak loud. Angels have to act on what you and I declare. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and 6. I won't read it. But it says the messenger, once it's declared, don't turn the messenger back around again. In other words, once he's sent on the mission, when you declare it, he's off on it. Don't reverse the order. See, we have got this mentality as Christians that we're just servants on the earth. We are servants of God, but masters over angelic hosts and masters over fallen angels. Come on, just say, hey, I'm a master. Yeah, y'all think you all believe that. I'm a champion. I'm in charge. I'm numero uno. I'm the big honcho. I'm the man. Right? They've got to say that. I'm the man. I've been empowered by God. So I realize I'm not a servant. I'm a master. I can command. Go to Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12. What happens when you speak up and when you speak out and you speak loud? Powerful things happen. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12. Watch this. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy mind to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Watch this in the Amplified Bible. Your words were heard, and I've come as a consequence of, and it's in response to your words. Daniel's words summoned the angel. Some people criticize and say, you can't command angels. Wait a minute, I just read in the Bible where Daniel's words summoned angels. I command angels now in Jesus' name to go before me on this airplane to ensure my safety and my landing at my destination. I thank you, Lord, that this has already come to me. What? He's responded to my words in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12. Look at Luke chapter 22, verses 42 and 43. Luke chapter 22, verses 42 and 43. Jesus said to the Father, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Is that what he said? He said, not my will, but yours be done. What was the will? It was the will of God that he drink this cup of what? This cup of affliction, the crucifixion, that he would die for all the sins of humanity. That was his assignment. And he said, if it's your will, I will take it. The next scripture said, and an angel appeared and strengthened him. When did the angel come? When Jesus said, I receive your word, I align myself to what you said, and I will do according to what your will is. Immediately when he said that, he summoned an angelic host to assist him and to strengthen him to accomplish that thing. Do we realize what we do with our words? When we make that commitment, I don't know, honey, how it's going to happen. I don't understand either about our tithing. I don't know where our finances have gone, but I know one thing. God is not a man that he should lie. He said that we ought to give our tithe unto the storehouse, that there be meat in his house. He said he'd open up the heavens for us and he'd pour out a blessing we could not contain. He said he rebuked the devourer. I don't quite understand, but I declare this, that I will continue to give my tithe and believe that God is not a man that he should lie. The moment I say that, angels have to come and work out the situation for me to ensure the fact that I can be able to be blessed and that I would be able to give my tithe. That's the strengthening of my character, strengthening of my natural, my earthly side, my natural man. It's the strengthening coming from the angelic powers of God. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. Jesus, I don't have time to read them all. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, Jesus, he framed the worlds by the words of his mouth. You and I frame our world by the word of our mouth. By the word of our mouth. By the word of our mouth, we frame our world. Angels act. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14 is the ministering spirits. God says, I've given all of my saints, all those that inherit salvation, a ministering spirit. I don't know about you, but a servant spirit comes to a master of a house. You know, you and I are not to serve angels. We've been created just a little bit lower, not than angels, a little bit lower than what? God. If we've been created a little bit lower than God, then the angels are lower than man. So we recognize something about angels. They are created for his pleasure, for our service, for the will of God on the earth. Hallelujah. So I realize I've got ministering spirits. The moment Emma Rose broke the womb of her mother, ministering spirits were ready to take care and to care for and to minister to her. The moment Ethan came through your womb, Alicia, ministering spirits assigned throughout eternity to watch over, guard, and to aid him and assist him in the words of his mouth. Powerful as inheritance of salvation. As inheritors of salvation, I should say. Number three, when you speak up, speak out, and speak loud, God backs you up. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11. Isaiah 55 and verse 11. God backs you up when you speak it out, and when I speak out, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I have sent it. God says, listen, if you say it, I am obligated to back it up. Because I'm not a liar. I'm not schizophrenic. I don't mean one thing one day to another thing the next day. So I have to learn how to operate this way. We've got to raise our children to think this way. We need to get our children to go public with their faith instead of being hidden in the closet at school, and whether they are saved or not saved, act saved one weekend and act like crazy the next weekend. And part of the reason why they're disillusioned about their faith is because they don't see people committed in their home. They don't see the people committed in the church. It's all religious. It's all just, it's just fluff. So you and I today, we realize that God will back us up. Matthew chapter 12, verse 37. I have to quit right here. It says this. It says, by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. God backs us up by our words. By our words. So I'm declaring to you this morning, step number six. Step number six, go public. Go public. I mean, step number six, just you lift that hand up. You walk out in the public and you declare, I'm going to say it loud. I'm saved and I'm proud. I'm standing, I'm crossing the line. This is how we live. This is who we are. I make no apologies for it. I know my God is able. I know that my God is with me and that He will never abandon me. I know, I am persuaded. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not inferior. I'm not abased by the consciousness of fault placed upon God's word. No! I don't have a personality that lacks self-confidence. There might have been a day when I first came to Jesus, I lacked confidence. But I've renewed my mind. I've changed my way of thinking. I used to be afraid of my own shadow. Now demons tremble when I rise up in the morning. And I recognize that I walk in the fullness and the authority of God and His holy word. I realize now that I'm up and not down, ahead and not the tail, over and not under. I realize what God has for me. So I walk in that now. And I've drawn the line in my society. Some of us need to break out. Break out of that little box that the devil's put you in. Come on, stand up with me. Some of us just need to kind of break out, you know. Just break out, just, you know. Yeah. See, some of you need to even do that this morning. I mean, we'll be as crazy as I am. Come on. Well, just crunch over a little bit. Choir, are you doing it? Come on. Don't kick your neighbor now. Come on, lift your hand up. Give me a fist. Come on, flex that muscle, guys. Come on. Yeah, yeah. Say it loud. I'm saved and I'm proud. Look at somebody and say, yeah, that's right. All right, guys, pull your pants up a little bit. So you gotta walk like you're confident. I mean, I loved it the other day. LeBron looks up to the home court, he looks up to, gets that resin. He said, let's go to work, boys. See, some of you need to practice how to walk. Everybody to your right. You know what right is? Right. Okay, we're gonna walk to the right. Okay, come on, put them shoulders back. Put that chest out. Tuck that chin down. Are you ready? On three, I want you to strut. One, two, three, strut. Hey, 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 hey. Okay, stop. Turn around. Go back the other way. Practice how to walk. Strut. Oh, yeah. Woo. I'm bad. I'm bad. I'm saved and I'm proud. Woo, I'm bad. Come on, somebody. God will do what He said He will do. How many believe that? Hey. Come on, sing that.
Oh, am I formed against me?
No, no.
Shall prosper in all the world. No, am I
finger like this. Say, devil.
Devil.
It won't work. Sing it with me. It won't work. One more time.
It won't work.
Come on, one more time. Situation where Melissa and Eric Salva, they're here this morning. I saw them walk in. Where are you guys? Right there. Okay. And they live right across the street from a mother who just experienced such a tragic loss. Their four-year-old son was playing in the house. You may have heard on the news. It's like a Cape Crusader. You know how kids like to put towels around him and be Superman. Jumped off of something and his towel got caught on a swag lamp and actually hung himself. 3 days later, passed away. Just an absolute tragedy. And I just, when Melissa called me, they said, we live right across the street. I said, God, we ought to do something. And so on the way out today, the ushers are going to have a bag. I'm not going to pass it, just the offering bags. Could you, as the Holy Spirit leads you, give something? And we'll give it in entirety to this family. You can make a check out to CNC. But we really believe that we ought to send an act of love and an act of concern. Hey, we know they went through this. We're sorry that this happened. We're praying for you. Here, take this gift to maybe help in some of the situation that you're facing. Would that be all right? Okay. Then I want you, if you will, pray for us. We're leaving here this week to go to England. We'll be preaching there, like I said, 5 times in about 5 days, and then returning back early next week. So cover us in prayer. We covet your prayer. We know without it, we can't do anything. So we need you to cover us and back us up. And also, don't forget Thursday night. It's going to be a powerful night. Thursday night this week, come to church. Don't miss. Okay? Be here Thursday night. And then the softball guys, you're going to do that. If you're visiting with us, are we having a reception in the far back left? If you're here for the first time or second time or it's been a long time, see the big guest sign back there in the far left? We want you to join us for just a few moments. So glad that you're here. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. See you next time. God bless you all. In Jesus' name.
I will not be afraid of 10,000 people.
You've been listening to a message that emphasizes the reality and power of God's Word. Again, thank you for listening. If you would like further information on our ministries or other products available, visit us online at www.churchonthenorthcoast.org, or you may call us at 440-960-1100. In the meantime, may God richly bless you, and may His Word be alive in your life.